Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Monday to everyone. This is Dr. Hank, and you're in tune, or you just tuned into the Dr. Hank Show. So thank you for being with us today. And boy, we have a great show for you today, because we're going to be talking about something today that I think, I'm going to go out on a limb and I say, I think everyone would like to have, and that's world peace. I think everyone would like to have world peace. The question is, how do you get to world peace? And what is world peace? World peace for one may be different from world peace for another, or one person's approach to world peace may be different from someone else's approach to world peace. So what we've done today is we are bringing two, and I mean, when I say it this way, we're bringing two experts who's going to come in and share some information on how we can get to world peace. We're going to have the EQ dude, better known as Matt Pearlstein. And we all know Matt because he's been on the show several times in the past. And then we're going to have a special guest who's going to be accompanying Max. And I understand they have a partnership going now. And that is, we're going to have the Dean of Peace. The Dean of Peace, and that's Dean Van Leeuwen. And together they're going to share some information with us on how we can look at being able to get to world peace from where we are now. And the method, of course, is, what is this show all about? The show is all about emotional intelligence. So the method to getting to world peace is through EQ education. And so they're going to be sharing how EQ education can lead to world peace. And so stay with us. We're going to have lots of information, and the lines are going to be open for discussion. So if there's anyone out there who has an idea, a thought, or wish to make a comment, feel free to give us a call at 929-477-1423. That's 929-477-1423. Because we're looking for other people to have something to say about this also. Because when we're talking about something as big as world peace, there's got to be lots of opinions about it. And since no one has been able to, well, get us to that point, then there must be some reasons why we haven't been able to get there. So if you're listening to the show and you're tuning in today, first of all, let me say thank you. Thank you to all our loyal listeners, those that routinely tune in to listen to the Dr. Hank Show, because it's all about emotional intelligence. But we not only want you to listen today, we want you to call in and share your thoughts and just kind of let us know what's on your mind. Now, you might have opposing views from the EQ dude and the Dean of Peace. Hey, that's okay. We expect that. And we would be remiss if we didn't say we would like to have that, because that expands our discussion. So if you have an opposing view, hey, that's okay. We'd like to know what it is. As a matter of fact, when you have an opposing view, that's like having a devil's advocate in the room. And a devil's advocate is someone who kind of says, well, hey, have you thought about it from this side? Or have you thought about it from this point? Or let's take a look at it from here. Or what about this? Or what about that? So often that's where new discoveries are made. Often that's where we come up with the next best way of doing something. So if you're listening to the show in real time today, hey, feel free to give us a call, 929-477-1423. So before I bring on the deans and the dude, let me just kind of share a couple of things that's going to be happening in the upcoming weeks. One, we're going to have the EQ Dude as a part of a three-part emotional intelligence conference, and that's scheduled for October 19th. We're going to have three webinars back to back to back, and it's all about looking at emotional intelligence from three different lenses or look at it from three different ways. So that's coming up October 19th, so don't miss that. Go online to our website, societyofei.org, go to the conference page, and actually you can read more about those three webinars. You can also register from that page. And on October 12th, we're going to be having the famous, what everyone wants to kind of get a part of, and that is the EQI 2.0 certification. Now, the EQI 2.0 certification is a way for a person to get certified to use a particular assessment tool called the EQI 2.0. Now, it's been around for a while, but a lot of coaches, a lot of HR people, a lot of trainers like to have that skill or that tool in their toolkit when they're working with their clients. So, if you want to get certified in that, again, go on the website, societyofei.org, and go through the training and certification page, and you'll see all of the information about that on that link. And you can just click on the link, and you can just sort of register from right there. But without further ado, let me just check and see if the EQ dude and the Dean of Peace is on. Good morning. This is Dr. Hank. Are you guys there?
Hi, Dr. Hank. This is Matt. Welcome.
Oh, Matt, the EQ dude. So we have the EQ dude on. Okay, great.
Hi, this is Dr. Dean, the Dean of Peace.
We got the Dean of Peace. So we got the dude and the dean. I know I'm just kind of shortening it a little bit. We say the EQ dude and the Dean of Peace, but I'm just shortening it. I say we have the dude and the dean, or the dean and the dude on this morning. So thanks, guys. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on this morning. Let me do this. Let me ask you to just give us maybe a 30-second introduction. The EQ dude said, hey, I'm the EQ dude, and this is a little bit about me. Then we can go to the Dean of Peace, Dean Van Leeuwen, and he can say, hey, I'm the Dean of Peace, and here's a little bit about me. That's for the benefit of our listeners so they can know a little bit about you guys. Is that okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, let's go with the dude first.
Right. Sure, I'll start. Yeah, hi, everybody. Welcome. I'm glad to be back. Thank you for having me again, Dr. Hank. So I've been working with EQ since 30-something years before it was called that. And when I found out that so many of our problems are emotional problems, emotional ignorance, actually, that we didn't know what was going on, and I sure didn't know what was going on emotionally, and found out how simple it was and how profound it is, then pretty much dedicated my life to trying to tell everybody else how this works, because it's not rocket science, but it sure is life-changing, as you all know. So, so I got connected with Dean not too long ago, a couple months ago, actually, and was incredibly impressed with what he's been doing. He's got an entire curriculum that they're putting into public and private schools in Asia,
and even some in the United States, and been amazingly successful with it. And so we've decided to partner up and see if we can make a difference here on a big global scale.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks for that introduction. Let's hear from the dean.
Hey, hi. I've been around for quite a while too. In fact, I hadn't even heard of EQ when I started this work.
Okay.
But we've been at it, and the thing that I have thought was important is that we all know that we outpicture what we believe. In other words, our life is produced from the way we think and the choices we make. And
right.
So we don't know what's coming out of us is what we've been taught and what we believe. So if we can create a new belief system, a new way of thinking about life, and a new way of reacting to life, then we can create peace, because that becomes our natural response. When we respond in the way we've been taught, we're taught to be angry. I hear it on the radio every day. You should be angry now. So that has been the thrust of our work. And then we've worked more in Asia, because the Asian culture is actually more open to accepting peace than we are here in this country.
Wow, wow. Yeah, we're going to explore that a little bit more. So thanks for the introduction. You know, I heard both of you guys say, you know, you were doing EQ long before it was called EQ. So what were you calling it then?
I talked about initially shifting from anger to joy is what I called my initial work. And then when my first book I came out, I used the word life without anger, which is that we can learn to respond in non-angry responses and live a life that is not based in negative emotions. We can actually shift into living in a positive life.
Okay, okay. Dude, Matt, what were you calling it?
Just personal growth, self-awareness. Yeah, just working on our feelings and emotions, getting a clue. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting, because I, too, you know, I'm one of those old-timers, been around at least 30 years or more. And I certainly wasn't calling it EQ or EI, any of that then. It was, you know, we just used the term, you know, personal growth or personal development or interpersonal skills or interpersonal relationships, or there were a number of terms. But, you know, now we're using EQ or EI. And so we're going to, for the sake of this show, we're going to address it from that perspective, because the topic this morning is EQ for peace, how EQ education can lead to world peace. So my first question, I'm just going to jump right into it. Why is EQ education so important? And I'll just throw that to both of you.
I'll start with that one, because that's a juicy subject. Well, and as I said, that's what I'm pretty dedicated to, is that we learn all kinds of good information in schools, left brain information and knowledge in schools, and we learn how to read, write, and arithmetic and all that good stuff, but we do not learn very well how to handle ourselves internally. There is definitely not informal education, although it's starting, and I'm happy about, but you know, we get lots of good information on how to get a job. That's the main thrust of our education system in the United States, at least, and that's great, and it's good, and it's working well. There's a lot of people, you know, can get advantages from that, but there's a big hole in that people do not know, and the kids do not know how to deal with their feelings. And so what happens is
Let me interrupt you just for a second, because I think we're about to have a loss of signal. I'm using my computer in the internet, and it's giving me a low bar here, so we might experience a loss of signal. If we incur a loss of signals, I'm going to ask you to wait 5 minutes and just call back in. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yep.
That's what we need to do. That's fine.
Okay, great. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's go on until, or should I lose a loss of signal, we can then call back in.
Okay.
So that was one response, and I just need to jump in there to do that. Let me go to Dean and get his reaction to why is EQ education so important?
Well, we outpicture in our life what we believe and what we have been taught as we're growing up. And what we're using and the way our society works right now, we have a lot of negative emotions, or we have a lot of anger-based, a lot of fear-based emotions that are creating responses that are not very conducive to a peaceful neighborhood, to a peaceful society. So we end up experiencing this when we have a problem. The solution is to punch the other guy in the nose, and that's not a satisfactory solution as far as the world is concerned.
Yeah, you know, and you say that, and I was going to say, in a situation like that, you might have one satisfied party, and that's the puncher, but the punchee may not be satisfied. So you still don't have sort of peace, as you're saying, goes, because you have one dissatisfied person and one, of course, maybe satisfied. We don't know whether the puncher was satisfied or not. He just let off a little steam, and I'm saying he, it could be a she. They just let off a little steam. So go ahead.
Well, they're often both dissatisfied, and they end up punching each other. And that's how we end up in war.
That's right.
We believe
that's right.
What he's finding is there's a basic shift between win-lose and win-win. And if we can make that shift in education, and that is a teachable skill, that we can bring inner peace to the kids and to people, and that will lead more to outer peace or social peace, personal, interpersonal peace, someday world peace.
Yeah, yeah, and I like that. I like that because, you know, so I get the picture that education is a good starting point, with that. But how do you get, let me just jump in and say, how do you get people to stand still long enough to become educated?
Well,
you know,
what they're doing in Asia is it's in public schools. So it's in public and private schools. They're starting with seventh graders up till through college. And so the kids are, it's a class. So they're taking the class and they get taught whether they like it or not, basically. And B, as it gets into higher grades, they're taking it as an elective. And they've got waiting lists for kids wanting to get this information. Yep.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Well, most of you know, one of the biggest complaints for kids in school is this isn't very practical. It's interesting, but it's not very practical. What do I do with ancient Mesopotamian history? You know, what do I do with that? What do I do with calculus? What do I do with that? But if you say, you have thoughts and you have feelings and you can deal with them, you're having some right now, right? Do you see what's happening inside of you right this minute? It's like the most practical subject on the planet. Every second of every day, for the rest of our days, we have thoughts and we have feelings. It'd be kind of interesting to know how to deal with them.
Well, you know, you brought up a good point, and that is, you know, we're taught, as you just mentioned, you know, some ancient stuff, and it's okay, you know, if those things are electives, but it seems to me the things that we need to know right now should be the things that are the primary things that, you know, that the schools or the system should have, you know. So if I'm hungry, you know, how to eat, what to eat, the kinds of foods that are healthy for me are the things that I need to know to operate right now, not necessarily, you know, ancient history. Although ancient history is important and has its place, it's not serving us right now. And often we talk about living in the now. We talk about mindfulness. We talk about the being in the now, but yet our education system isn't in the now. Well, I say our education, meaning the U.S. system.
A lot of people are taught amazing technical skills, and they go out into the world and they get a job, and they can do, perform that job quite well. However, most of the failures in our workforce are even are from the fact that they're not able to deal with these situations emotionally, and they actually fail because they have not been not learned the proper ways of dealing with this job on the inside and how they feel about it, more than the technical issues, and that's what needs to be addressed.
Absolutely, absolutely. You have buy-in from me 100% on that. So we said that we responded to and we answered the question why EQ education is so important. So now the next big question is, how can EQ lead to peace?
Okay, Matt, do you want to do this? But we I'll deal with this, I guess, because I've been like dealing with that as the central issue for a long time. We have to, in order to have peace, we have to have peace inside of us, because what we're going to do on the outside is a result of what we feel and think on the inside. And when we realize that and see how we want the world to be, and we can create a positive world, then we have a desire for peace, and we have a caring for peace, and we have a recognition for it. So many times, I have a hat that says life without anger on it, and I wear it, and I walk by, and people say, if that was only possible. Of course it's possible, because it comes from our learning of it. It's a matter, we've just been taught that it's not possible. No, but that doesn't mean that it isn't possible, because what we believe is what happens. And we have to learn to believe that it's possible, because it is. It's a result of our thinking. Thoughts fly by us all the time, and we choose the thought we want to think about. And it's that choice of the thought that we have, and how we deal with that in thought, and how we react to it, that creates our reality.
Gotcha. You know, I like, and I just wrote that down, and I'm going to make a quote out of it, and I'll put your name on it. But I like, peace inside leads to peace outside.
Absolutely.
Yes, that is what we're finding, and that's it's significant. I think we can teach, and you know, a lot of nonprofits and a lot of companies and organizations promote world peace, and they say yes, that's what we should do. But we're actually teaching the kids how to be peaceful on the east side. That's huge, I think.
That's what my next question was going to be. How do you get to peace inside? In other words, is there a formula? And I don't really mean a formula, but meaning that if someone wants to become at peace inside, what is it that they can begin to do or practice or look for or read or study or try or whatever? You know, let's say that I'm the person and I say, boy, I'd like to have peace inside. And you would say, well, Hank, do this, or Hank, consider this, or Hank, try this.
To me, the big steps, and we've talked about this before, is about being aware first of what's happening inside of us, accepting what's happening inside of us, and then taking some concrete actions to make it better, to continue it, to make concrete choices, cognitive choices on what we're going to do with it and what we're going to do about it. So being aware of our thoughts and our feelings is the very, very most basic step. I think a lot of people are not at peace, and they don't know why, and they don't know that they have, like Dean just said, they don't know that they have control of what's happening inside. They don't know that they can deal with their own thoughts, that you can change your thoughts. If you don't like them, you can change them and redo them and rework them, and you can, and that our thoughts create our feelings, and that we can modify all of that.
It's a huge, huge deal because we believe that we're stuck, or we believe that we have these feelings and they just happen, that you made me angry. Well, no, mm-hmm. you didn't make me angry. I made me angry, actually. And if I have control over that and I have power over that, then I can adjust it, and then I can feel way more peaceful. Dean?
Hmm.
Yeah. What I would add is that we can learn how to change how we process information. We tend to have learned to react to information rather than process it and look at it as a problem that needs to be solved. So if we get into a place where we can shift out of our emotional mode in our mind, that function of our mind, into our intellectual part of our mind, and use that in solving our problems, are far more effective. And that's not a difficult process to learn and use.
Well, and I guess that's where I am, and I know, you know, in the time that we have, you can't, you know, lay it out in doing that, but can you give me an example, let's say, of how one would do it, if they would do, let's say, A, B, and C, or whatever, how one would go about doing that, because, you know the old saying, it's easy said, not so easy done.
Oh, yeah. A lot of this stuff is very, very simple, but it is not easy.
Go ahead, Matt.
Right. Well, you know, people look for the easy these days.
Well, all right. I hear you. Again, it's simple. It's real simple. If you're sad, be sad. If you're angry, you can be angry. You can, if you're angry and you realize that it's your thoughts that made it that way, you can change them. I mean, it's pretty simple, but it's not so easy. A lot of times not easy at all. But
it's kind of learning that you are in control of your mind instead of your mind is in control of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's huge.
Agree.
That's huge.
That's huge.
It is.
But that's where a lot of the stumbling blocks occur, of course, is I know, I agree with, that we're in control of our mind.
And our heart.
However, it's sometimes others don't know that, and so that becomes the issue. And obviously that's where the education piece really comes into play, is for them to begin to recognize and understand how that happens, or how to do that, or how to be more aware, how to be more self-aware, how to be more in control of their mind, their thoughts, their actions, and how to do that. I would suspect that would be a part of, let's say, the class, or part of what the people would practice and or learn. So I'm in agreement with you.
One of the most basic lessons in the CQ training is what we call emotional responsibility, and that's just about getting the kids and people to realize that they created what's going on inside of them. They create their inner world, and they can adjust their inner world. So, A, it's my thoughts and my feelings. I created them. You didn't make me angry. I made me angry. And then B is I can do something about it. So that those two adjustments can change everything.
Well, let me throw this one out.
I want to add.
Go ahead.
Just one thing to what Matt said, and that if you think about it, different people get angry for different things. So we know it's not something that's mandatory to be angry. So we know it's optional.
Well, what I was going to say is that there's three ways to look at that. Some people will say, you made me angry. Others will say, I became angry. And somebody else would say, when this occurred, it made me angry. In other words, you didn't make me angry. I didn't make myself angry, but when something happened, that situation caused me to be angry.
Yeah, so, it's still, I go one step further, though. If I had thoughts based on stuff that's happened to me in the past that were anger based and made me feel angry based on my angry thoughts. So I have thoughts, and those affect my feelings, and I made them, and I can change them. Doesn't really have all that much to do with you. And it gives us power and control over our lives. It's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. And what I'm suggesting is that, you know, is that if a person can really get down to the nitty-gritty, they realize it's sort of like there's two options. There's what I say I'm in control of, and then there's what I'm not in control of. So from the standpoint of you don't make me angry, I make me angry. I cause myself to be angry based on, you know, things that have happened in the past and what I relate to and things like that. But it's coming from me. It's not coming from you.
Right.
So two options.
Right. Yeah, you have something, maybe you started it, and it's a reaction to something that you did, something that happened outside of me. But as soon as it happened outside of me and I observe it and I have thoughts about it and I have feelings about it, now we're inside. Now it's up to us. Now we're inside.
Yep.
And then we get to do the EQ thing, which is awareness and acceptance and taking some action on it, where we can say, oh, I see where I did that. And I can accept that I did that. That's another huge part of this. And then, okay, now I can do something about it.
Yeah.
Inside of me, it doesn't matter what about you so much anymore. And then once I decide to take the action, I can take the action outside of me and react to you in a cool way, in a mature way, in an emotionally aware way.
In
I
a
have
way
more,
that
way more choices.
Yes, absolutely. Well,
I agree with the control versus not control. There's a lot of things that we don't have control over, but emotionally, I think we have a ton more control than most people have any idea. They don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Your thoughts on that, Dean?
I often start a talk or a workshop with this question. You know why we get angry? And the answer is simple. We all get angry for the very same reason. The reason we get angry is we think we should get angry. When something happens, the response inside of us that says, I think I should be angry now, is what I've learned and taught, and that's what creates this anger that's coming out of me. If I thought I shouldn't be getting angry now, I wouldn't be getting angry.
You know, that's a good point in terms of looking at it from that perspective, because, you know, we do learn based on how we were raised, you know, our values and all of those other things that our environment, let's say, helps to contribute to our beliefs and our feelings. So if something happened and everybody else got angry when that thing happened, we'd probably soon start to believe that, hey, I should get angry too when that kind of thing happens. And if I don't get angry, there's something wrong with me. I'm not in step with the mainstream. So for me to be in step with the mainstream, I need to get angry too, or I need to feel bad, or I need to feel sad, or whatever. So what I'm hearing is that a lot of things that have shaped us into who we are and how we respond to things is environmental. Okay.
I talk a lot about we need to change and evaluate our own personal belief system and change the beliefs that are creating those anger responses inside of ourselves. Find out what the things that are troubling us and create new responses to deal with the same situation.
Yeah. Well, I'm about to drop a big one on you now, so get ready, get set, fasten your seatbelts and all, because I'm going to ask you this big question. Do you think world peace is possible?
Yeah,
I do.
it's actually theoretically possible in one generation.
Uh-oh, I got to hear this one.
If we change the belief of the children in the educational system as they're growing up so that they don't no longer accept anger and war as a response to problems, then we can change the world. And that theoretically could be done in one generation if we were set up to teach EQ properly.
Wow. In one generation. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, so what happens to all of the folks who have had that mindset in the past? They are still going to be holding that, and the new generation comes along. Obviously, there's going to be that conflict by what they believe and what, let's say, their parents or older siblings believe.
When the new generation becomes the politics of the world, the change will happen.
So
example, here's an example. We're finding that the kids these days have much less judgment and business about racism, about sexual orientation, about where their nationality is from. They don't. They're so mixed up. Not the kids. The people are so mixed up, and there's so much diversity that they just don't really care anymore. That's not the problem. The problem is, are you safe? Are you a safe person? Are you cool? You know, are you a nice person? Kind of thing. And what we're finding in the schools is once we teach a whole class or a couple classes on this subject, then the kids create a different culture, and they can they then say, you're okay with me, and feelings are okay with me, and you can express yourself, and I can express myself, and I can say when I have negative feelings, and you can go, oh yeah, sorry to hear that, and just listen, and people can share, and people can heal, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to visualize. Of course, I'm in the now, the way that we are now. Not the world where they can do that. And the reason I'm saying that is, go ahead.
No, when they teach SEL, it's a social emotional learning in schools in the United States, they do it by, or they try to, at least as much as possible, by district. The whole district has to take it into account and to make it from the kids to the teachers, to the parents, to the administrators, to the counselors, to everybody, so that the whole culture changes, so that the whole environment becomes safer emotionally for people to be able to express themselves and to release negative feelings and replace them with positives. That's the definition of peace, seems like to me, anyway.
Inner peace. Wow.
And another example I use is that we're still kicking the rock. In other words, if you're walking down the path and a rock rolls in front of you, your natural response might be to kick the rock. And some of us learn very quickly that that's not very effective, and others of us still keep kicking the rock. So if you learn that kicking the rock is not going to work, then you change.
Yeah, and that's a tough one sometimes, because as you just said, some just keep kicking the rock because they figure sooner or later, you know, that rock is either going to move or it's going to move.
We forget about how we're hurting our toes.
Yeah.
We think we have to kick it so we suffer the pain.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so what I'm hearing then is you think or you believe, and let me take the word think out of it and say you believe that world peace is possible.
Of course it is. It's what one of the reasons that we work in Asia, and it's Nepal. We're working more specifically with Nepal, and they're a country very few people know about, but they're the only country in the world that have resolved a communist revolution without open warfare.
So how did they do that?
They brought him into the government, accepted him in, and said, "You can become part of the government, and we'll all do this together. We'll govern together, and you have your share of it instead of fighting and keeping them away." And it's working very effectively.
Nepal is also the second country in the world to have a minister of peace. Michael.
Yeah. and I thought that was a great step, you know, is that there's someone to focus on that aspect of things, a minister of peace. You know, we have czars of war or whatever, or something like that, you know, but our focus is on fighting and winning rather than, you know, attaining peace. It's fighting
dominance.
And winning. Yeah.
Yes. Dominance. Yes.
Absolutely.
Anybody else want to call in and give their opinion about whether we can do world peace or not? Or just on a side note, we're starting a new nonprofit, and I found it very interesting to, you know, the Asian market. We're working over there, and they are much more aware of world peace. They are surrounded by other countries. They're used to having people of different nationalities, and a lot of times they depend on each other. United States is kind of a island in a way that we're, you know, Billy Badass and we don't need anybody kind of thing. But what I'm finding is that they are more interested in world peace. Our folks are more interested in inner peace, which is cool. It's all right. But what we're having to do is even the name of the company, we're still kind of in flux about it. It's called EQ for Peace, but over there it's called EQ for World Peace. So,
they're much broader.
Yeah, the people here, we've asked the people here, and they're A, don't believe it's possible, and like Dean was saying, and B, if it is possible, I don't care all that much. Sadly, I'm worried about home and what's happening in the United States. But other than that, you guys, good luck. So they want to know about peace internally, but not so much world peace.
Yeah,
so far,
personal peace.
Not just mine.
Yeah, personal peace rather than world peace. Yeah.
Yep. Or that's even interpersonal peace is cool, but world, I don't know, you know. So.
Yeah, that's
what do you
too
think?
Big
what
a
do you
pie.
Think, Dr. Hank? What do you think? Do you think we can do it?
Well, I believe that
you sound skeptical.
It can be done. Now, my personal belief is that I believe that it can be done, and I believe that it takes work to get it done, and I think that we – yeah, there's that word, that four-letter word. but, yes, I believe that it's possible. I believe that it's possible. And I'm certainly willing to work with you guys or throw my hat in the ring and we figure out or I can tag along or whatever, you know, I can do to help with whatever you're doing or want to do. So, yeah, you can add my name to the list. You can put me on the list or call me a third party or whatever. So, but I believe that world peace is possible. We just need to work on making it happen. Now, but the question is, can we live without anger? So if we say world peace is possible, then we must be able to live without anger, or we should be able to live without anger then. Is that correct, or those two things don't kind of tie together?
Well, it's anger is a response pattern that's going to create the negativity that creates the warlike responses within the individual and within the country. Now, we, as a practical matter, we don't have to eliminate all of the anger in the world. We just need to reduce the level of anger to the level that we can have enough reasonable people that can sit down and solve the problems, that we can use a war as a last tool of solving the problem. And it's the failure of working out the problem. Instead of using the war as a system of dominating and controlling and getting our answers, we can learn to look at war as only an action of last resort, and it will only come as from a failure of imagination and being able to solve the problem.
Okay. So I think I'm see if I can kind of paraphrase what I'm hearing is that we can be angry or we can become angry about something. However, as we learn more about how to manage that and how to take responsibility for those emotions, that within itself can lead to, in other words, I might be angry momentarily until I understand what is causing that and why I'm angry and I know more about the situation and all. And then I can create inner peace once I'm more aware. And if I'm now more aware and I've created that inner peace, it can have an impact on, well, if I use the term external peace, I'm talking world peace. In other words, every little bit of growth and development that occurs with me has an impact on those outside of me, which can then become larger and larger and larger. And eventually, everyone is doing something similar, which is leading to world peace. Is that kind of getting there?
Well, I would say exactly that's what it's all about, and you just nailed it.
Another thing I'm agreeing with you, but another thing that we're finding is again difference from the Americans or the Western folks versus the other continents is that the Americans don't really believe that you can live a life without peace. I mean, without anger, and B, don't even really want to, which I was surprised. They don't think it's healthy, don't think it's a good idea, don't think it's safe to live without anger. So what I think is the way to go is, again, we're on the same track here, is that we can teach people, like, I'm angry about a bunch of things. I'm angry that I didn't learn how to be angry. I'm angry that I went through all the way through college and didn't have slightest clue how to deal with myself. And how
right.
to deal with other people. No idea. And I think that's wrong. I think it's wrong, personally. And I am angry about that. Now,
yes.
I don't want to not be angry about that. I'm going to keep that anger because I'm using it as a motivation for myself to make positive changes and to reach out to others and maybe try and help them as well. So
okay.
I think there's a benefit. I think there's a very serious benefit to anger if used properly. And A, you choose it. A, you're aware of it. B, you accept it. And C, you choose it. You're like, okay, no, I'm either going to not be angry or I'm going to keep being angry for these purposes, these positive purposes. That's what puts me in control, and that gives me peace. It's kind of weird, but you can be angry and peaceful at the same time. I can.
And anger can be effective as a motivator, but you have to have the ability to shift out of that anger to be effective in dealing with the problem. If you stay in that anger, you're not going to work in solving the problem. So you have to be able to work out of it and deal with it. So there's nothing wrong with anger coming up and being in your life. It's the effect that it creates on you and the problem that's creating in your life that you need to learn to deal with.
Yeah, and that's the part, you know, and I don't know if our listeners are waiting for that, but that's certainly the part that I'd like to, you know, present or don't lose sight of. And that is, we're not saying don't ever be angry, because angry is a natural, you know, response to something that has an emotional impact on you in some way or another. So getting angry is okay. It's what you do with the anger. Do you allow the anger to, quote, rule you? Do you allow the anger to determine, you know, the path that you're going to take? Or do you allow the anger to be something that serves as a sort of like a warning signal that, you know, like you're driving along in your car and you're approaching the signal light and the yellow light comes on? You know, the question is, do you begin to put on brakes because you know that the red light is coming up, or do you step on the accelerator to accelerate through the light and increasing the likelihood of something unpleasant occurring? You know what I'm saying? the anger that we feel is telling us something. It's saying the light is going to turn red, you know, shortly. So you need to be prepared to respond to the yellow light, because it's sort of like giving you some information about what can occur in the future if you don't manage it or if you don't do something about it. So,
right. Yeah.
We can reduce anger to the level of being essentially a pay attention response rather than a hit somebody over the head response.
That's a good one. That's a good one. A pay attention response. Pay attention to this feeling that you're having because something is causing it. It's being generated from, it's being caused by some internal belief or value or whatever that you have. So pay attention to
right.
it.
All of our yeah. feelings have a great message to us. If we would shut up and listen to them, they have wonderful messages to us. And that's why the left brain versus right brain thing, if you can be aware and accept what's happening to you with your feelings, then you can make better choices and you can make better decisions. You have more information. If you're denying it, if you're lying to yourself, if you're stuffing it all down, and, oh, I don't get angry, and like, well, you know, you miss all that information. Fear is a big fat warning, right? Sadness
yes.
is a way of letting go of things, of that you lost something, all that. It's all very productive and very good information if we will shut up and listen to it, to ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's teachable skills. Those are teachable skills. Love that.
Well, I like to talk a lot about the idea that when we have issues that we need to deal with, instead of going into judgment, we go into problem solving. So we use our mind to solve the problem rather than to decide whether it's good or bad.
Well, is that based on, let's say, our gender? You know, they say that men tend to be more the problem solver, and men or women tend to be more of the reflective and think about and want to look into. So are we just kind of hardwired a certain way, and that's kind of why this world peace is kind of difficult to get to?
My opinion. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I'll put mine in, then we'll get Matt's. But my experience has been that we're not so much hardwired as we're socially conditioned when we're growing up. We learn different response patterns because males are treated differently than females in
mm-hmm.
society. So most of that is culturally originated rather than genetically.
Yes, yes.
Yep,
okay.
I agree. I was going to say, I don't like that term hardwired at all. I mean, there is some DNA kind of things that happen to us, but I don't like that term hardwired because I don't think we are. I think we are wired. We are wired, but we can adjust the wires if we don't like them. The wires are probably there, the connections, the neural pathways, the decisions
right.
that we made, the stuff that happened to us as a kid, the trauma, all that kind of stuff does create wires, and it creates neural pathways, like I said, but you can change those. If they're not working for you, if you don't like them, you can change them. It's not, like you said, it's not easy.
Yes. Well, one of the things that we know about those neural pathways is that if new information or new signals start coming down that those neural pathways, it changes the way that we see things or change the way that we do things, you know, It's that habit thing, you know. As new or different information comes in, you know, we change the way that we see things. So I agree, you know. We're not so hardwired that, you know, as new information comes in, we disregard it. And, you know, I know from the world of hypnosis, you know, if you can get past that, you know, critical factor, you know, and allow that new information to come in, we can change our belief system. We can change the way that we see things. We can change the way that we do things. But we do have to get past the critical factor. We do have to get past, you know, that belief that, you know, we're just hardwired that way. I'm in agreement with
you.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, that's just how I am. That's just, you know, that's what I've always done. That's how I roll, that kind of stuff. Is I just waited to tell yourself that I'm not willing to be uncomfortable and do it different. I'm going to do it the same I've always done it, which is one of the options, but may or may not be working for you.
One of my books that you brought to mind is EQ, Emotional Intelligence. The second part of it is taking control of your life. And that's the issue. You can use EQ to take control of your life and create the life that you want for you. You're not created to be something predetermined. It's up to you what you want to be. And if you learn to control that choice between when something happens and the decision you make and what you do, if you take control of that little piece of your life, then you have control of your life and you can help picture just what you want in life.
Absolutely. Well, you know, this has been really great discussion. I appreciate it. And again, thank you guys for being available to come on and share your words of wisdom. It's very seldom that we get a dude and a dean on at the same time. I want you to know that. But today was a special treat, and for our listeners who will probably listen to the show in the podcast format, because that's often what happens. You know, we have our regular listeners. Some of them have radio fright, and they don't want to be heard. They don't know how their voice may sound, so I can appreciate that.
That's
we
the
also
judgment.
Have,
that's a neural pathway. That's another one.
Yep.
With it.
Yep. Yep. David. We have to work on those. We have to work on those and get them to shift or change. But I'm really excited. Really like the idea of world peace, and you know, I'm going to say count me in on that. And I'd love to be able to follow up with you guys, you know, offline and see how I might. Get involved and help out in that process. I think many of us have the same overall goal in terms of what we'd like to see happen, but maybe we don't, you know, sort of combine our resources a lot of times. And we have a lot of people out there working as individual contributors rather than coming together and to be a force for good. So, offline, I'll be reaching out and seeing how I can find out more and maybe get hooked up with the EQ for Peace movement,
all right.
if you will.
Great. Dean's written, I don't know, 15 or 20 books on this subject, and he's willing to send anybody who asks one of them. There's one called Relationships Without Anger. One's called Work Without Anger. And what's the other one?
Workplace Without Anger.
Parenting Without Anger.
Parenting without anger.
Those are great books. And no charge, if you write to him, go on Dr. Hank's website and get his email address and write to him, and he'll send you the book.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. We often say or ask our guests to leave us or share a gift or with us before they leave. And one of the things that Dean has agreed to do is he does have those books, Parenting Without Anger Program, Relationship Without Anger Program, Workplace Without Anger Program. So if you write to Dean at Dr. Dean at
WorldEmotionalLiteracy.org.
To write WorldEmotionalLiteracy.org?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay,
D-R-D.
You reply to that. So,
all right, we'll send a book by a digital copy of the book.
Okay, or if you can send me a digital copy, I'll be sure to share it from time to time with our listeners out there. Matter of fact, I'll bring that up next time with the next show that you were a guest on the previous show. And here's something that if they're interested in, to please let me know. I'll make it available to them also.
Beautiful.
Okay, that'd be great.
Thank you.
Well, let me say thanks. I appreciate you guys taking the time to be on the show today. It's been a pleasure for me And hopefully, you know, it's something that has given some food for thought for our listeners. And I look forward to Matt being a part of our Emotional Intelligence Conference coming up pretty soon. And the Dean of Peace, I'm looking forward to contacting you offline and just kind of getting more involved in what it is that you're doing. And hopefully collectively, the three of us will be making an impact on the world for peace.
Yes. Thank you for doing all that you do, Dr. Hank. EQ is very important, and appreciate you continuing the efforts. We're on the same team.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you both so much.
And look forward to seeing you again, talking to you more. So this is Dr. Hank, and we just had the Dean for Peace, and that was Dean Van Leeuwen. And we also had the EQ dude, and that's Matt Perlstein on the show today. And I hope everyone got a chance to listen, tune in. If you want to hear it, tune in to the podcast. That should be available within a couple of hours. This is Dr. Hank saying thanks for being with us. Really appreciate it. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. I look forward to hearing from you. And that's it for today.